I do need this. Everybody's so close, I like it. A little closer, Roger, if that's okay. It is in my backpack here. I got to dig all my stuff out. Patty's going to bring up a little slide here. I'm using some technology, and technology's not new. Like, there's nothing new under the sun from what the Bible says. And if Patty could just pull up that first slide. Unpacking it. So technically, Moses was the first person with a tablet downloading data from the cloud. Amen to that. You know what's really cool is we're going to share a little bit, but I really like golfing. And there's a group of us that go golfing from work, and one of the ladies that comes out with us, she showed me this on Friday golfing. So I thought that would be perfect intro to the sermon today. Okay. Thank you. I love you guys too. Okay. Well, it is an awesome privilege to be able to share in front of family, amen, friends. Been in this church body for probably 13 plus years now, and I've got to know most of you like family, and it's just awesome to be able to do that. One of the things that I really like about bringing the word to you guys is that I'm not as researched in the Bible. I read the Bible, obviously, but I don't do like a ton of deep down Bible study, but I do like that when somebody, a lay person like myself, gets to share the word, it gets to go in combination with what the Lord's downloading through the word, but then I get to add a bit of myself in there. So it's not just that I know the word like I've gone to school to do it, but I get to mix what I'm good at, things in the marketplace, things in my home life, things that I like to model, and I get to mix that with the word, and the word is the foundation. So that's what I really like about sharing with you folks. So my message this morning is on pursuing excellence. And God has created all of you for greatness. He's created all of us for greatness. Amen? We're all called to do great things, and we're created to be outstanding for Him. Some scriptures that back that up are 1 Peter 2:9. We have some scriptures coming up here. So 1 Peter 2:9 reads as this: "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you might proclaim the excellencies." Just going to highlight, if you pause on a word or you accentuate it, that means that concentrate on that word. So you're created to proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. So darkness and light. Another scripture is Colossians 3:23-25. And it reads as, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid with wrongs, and there is no favoritism." I do like the message for some scriptures, just to put it more into up-to-date language. So we're going to read that again in the message, and just listen for those highlights in my voice there for key words. "Servants, do what you're told by your earthly masters, and don't just do the minimum that will get you by. Do your best. Work from the heart for your real master, for God, confident that you'll get paid in full when you come into your inheritance. Keep in mind always that the ultimate master you are serving is Christ, the sullen servant who does shoddy work will be held responsible. Being a follower of Jesus doesn't cover up bad work." one more scripture, and then we're going to go into a Donnie object lesson that I think you guys will really like. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So the first object lesson doesn't include anybody out there yet. I've got some participants for later. Just so you guys know, we're going to have some participation. So one thing that I like to share, did you see these up here? Were you wondering why they were here? Does everybody know what these are? Like what sport this is? Golf clubs, yes. Who said golf clubs? Nice. Golf clubs. So something about me that you guys might not know is I really like to golf. You know that? I thought only the worship team knew that. Okay, so I'm just going to put a little perspective here. If golf came before the Lord, that would be bad. Everybody say that would be bad. Okay, so I just want to put that out there. I don't put golf before the Lord. But I'm really passionate with some of the things that I participate in, and golf is one of them. So this golf set here, golf in general, when you're doing something, when I'm doing something, I want to be the best. Golf isn't like a team sport where you're working with other people. You're relying strictly on your own skills and abilities to win. And I said earlier that I golf with some people from work, and then there's some other people and some other business people in the community that I golf with. I golf twice a week, Tuesdays and Fridays, and I was really sad last week because the golf course is closed last week. I know. I haven't got a hole in one, but don't distract me, Dave. So I was really sad last week because the golf course is closed. They have to do their maintenance. But it was so nice out that Bootleg Gap in Kimberley and Wildstone stayed open for another bonus weekend. Bonuses are good, hey? Bonuses are good. So I got to golf on Friday after work. That's another bonus of golfing, is I get to leave early on the days of work. And then I golfed yesterday, so I golfed two bonus rounds. Yeah. Friday wasn't really good because I like to be the best, and I didn't win. I lost. I came in last place. But yesterday I won, so I ended up the season with a high, so that was good. So I'm passionate about golf, if I haven't said that, and I really like my golf clubs. If you're passionate about something, they're not just here to lean on, but that is pretty handy. You invest time and energy. You invest practice time. For me personally, I like to have the best equipment that I can afford. Like, there's way more expensive equipment than this, but this is the best equipment for me that I can afford. And I've built this over probably 10 years of golfing. And these irons here, some of you guys might be bored stiff about them, but they are a tailor-made graphite shaft, tour blade, tour burner. TaylorMade's a pretty good company. There's probably like three or four really good golf clubs. And the irons, don't get offended about the money, because again, if I didn't tithe and I spent money on golf clubs, that would be bad. That's right. But I think the Lord is okay with us having some good gifts if we're taking care of our other things, right? First. So I probably bought these irons maybe 8 or 10 years ago from Golf Etc. That was the business in town, like a long time ago. And just the irons probably cost around $700. Wow, hey? I know, you could go to the thrift store and buy these for $10, I know. But these were the perfect clubs for me. They're pretty old, and it's time for a new set. I know that probably some people have, like, their grandfather's clubs, and they still use them, but if you want to be competitive and good and be the best, that's not going to cut it. You got to have good equipment. For me, anyway, that's my opinion. I haven't found another set of irons, and I really like these ones, even though they're getting old. So what I do, I need one volunteer to come on up. Anybody? come on up, somebody. Come on up, Rosemary. You don't have to know, you're just a sample here. So this here is a grip right here. That's called a grip. Mm-hmm. Feel that?
Oh, yeah.
That's grippy. Feel that one now.
Oh, that's warm.
So I replace the grips every year on these. A grip costs $12, and it probably takes a half hour to replace one grip. I got to cut the old grip off, put some solvent, some double-sided tape, buy a new grip, slide it on, and then it all re-grips. That keeps
like
me
kind
of like taping your hockey stick. If you're not into golf and you're thinking hockey, just pretend these are hockey sticks. You got to retape. Thanks, Rosemary.
I only come from a hockey family.
Okay, hockey. So she's thinking hockey every time I say golf. So okay, so she's thinking golf. So I re-grip these every year because I think it'll make me golf better. You know what? I forgot some other stuff, but technology in golf is like so important with the pros. Like there's like so much science and computer technology. Like this driver I bought this year, it's 2 years old, bought it brand new, but it's like from 2 years ago model. I spent probably maybe 10 to 12 hours just researching different drivers because you need to replace these, at least if you want to be the best like I want to be. I know I'm a little over the top, but this is just kind of sharing some of my carnal or my worldly what's in here. I'll tie it all in later, I promise. So I do a ton of research, and real cool thing, we went on holidays this year to Victoria, and we don't have a really good golf store here, so you have to go to the city to, like, golf town. You can go to Sport Check, but they don't quite have the highest end. They have kind of medium end. High end. I want high end. If I haven't kind of portrayed that, I want high end. So I went to Victoria with my family, and on our way to Victoria, we stopped in Kelowna to see Patty's dad, and they do have a golf town in Kelowna, a bigger center. So I went there, and cool thing, when you go to a golf store, you can set up in front of their computer, and you can do your swing, and they can analyze your swing, tell you what's good and what's bad. So I tried... No, it wasn't Victoria, sorry. I tried like 5 or 6 different drivers, and the sales guy, he was like super tired of me. He said, you know what? You swing like you're 90 years old. You only have 80 miles an hour. At your age, you should swing like 110 miles an hour, and I was only swinging 80. So he said, if I was you, I'd give up the game. He really said that. He's like, just play for fun. Don't be the best. I was like, I cried, didn't I, Patty? I was not happy about it. So he wasn't building me up. He wasn't a very good sales guy because I walked out and I didn't buy a club there. I went on a work trip to Edmonton, and I was coming back, and I was traveling with another gentleman that was bringing another vehicle back to Calgary to one of our companies there. So I was about an hour ahead of him, so I had an hour of time to kill. So I stopped in Red Deer. Right off the road, there was another golf town, bigger center. I went in, that sales guy was so good, and this 2-year-old club they had, it was brand new, but it's from 2 years ago, on half price. That's one thing, I'll never pay full price. I always do lots of homework, and then I'll buy something when it finally comes on sale. So I bought this, and it was really good in the end. And the salesman was good, and it worked with my 80-mile-an-hour swing. I'm not. I'm only going to be 80 miles an hour. I'll never get that fast because just the way I'm built, I think I'm too muscular right here or something. And I... So when I go golfing, I go for the fun of it, yes. Like, it's fun to get out with your friends. It's fun to just hang out. It's fun to go eat supper after. It's fun to have a bit of competition, a bit of camaraderie. But I still want to be the best. And that's just something that God's put that passion in me when it comes to pretty well anything I do, I like to be the best. And sometimes it can be negative, like if it becomes prideful and I can't function because of that, then it's bad. Right. Whew, put those away. I'll be thinking about golf today. Focus here now. So I do want to win. I want to be the best. And I think that that's a passion that God's put in each of us, that he actually wants us to be the best that we can, that whatever we do, that he wants us to be the best. He doesn't want second best, right? He wants first best out of us. Another scripture, 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27. And this, still staying on sports, I know that Ron and Terrily are runners. Is there any other runners in our church family, that people that like to run? Asia, Rosemary, Paul likes to run. So this scripture is about running, and I don't think God has a problem with sports, because he uses sports quite often in the Bible to talk about our faith journey is like running a race. So 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27 from the NIV says, "Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one runner gets the prize? Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, like a ribbon around your neck. But we do it as a Christian body to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and I make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." So the heart of that scripture is that there is a winner. Run the race to win. But if you don't train, you're not going to be the strongest runner. You can't just magically, you can be talented at something, but you're not, if you don't go into training, you're probably not going to be the best. You might be good at it, but you probably won't win first. Or even finish. You might be like the rabbit, right? Proverbs 22:29 from the New King James Version says, "Do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men." You know what? I think I got a little bit ahead there. That's okay. Another scripture, 1 Corinthians 15:58, says, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." So give yourself fully. There's kind of this perception or this pushing that you can't just give yourself partly, but fully. And get my heart today, it's not that you have to be working for the Lord out there ministering 24 hours a day, because we do need time to reset. We need time to ourselves. We need time with our family. Like, we need some balance in our life. But in all those things, God can be that root foundation. So that's where that fully comes from. It's not quantity, but quality. So that's what my heart is. That's what I've been reading in the scriptures. And that's what I love. I might not know the scriptures, like the Greek and the Hebrew, but this is my interpretation of how the scriptures apply in my life personally. I love this scripture, and I was telling Patty the other night that it's neat when you're bringing a word to the Lord, because in your own personal devotions, for me anyway, I'll read a scripture and I'll pray about it. What's this mean to me today? But when you're starting to pull a bunch of scriptures together and you have a theme, you have a point that you want to get to, it's so cool how the Lord will just bring new light to these scriptures and how they tie from one to another. So this one's from the Old Testament, from Isaiah 60, verse 1 to 3, says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness," there's that darkness again, "covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light," which is Jesus, right, in your life, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. So what arise, shine is kind of a more of an old-fashioned churchy word. Another way that you could say that is stand up and stand out. Does that ring with anybody? Arise, shine, stand up, and stand out. And as you look at that scripture, it says, so arise, shine, or stand up and stand out. There's a world of darkness out there. And I'm just going to shift the focus a little bit. When I first started, it was about my own personal skills, my own personal things that I wanted to improve on. Now we're kind of going out to the community, or what I'm more knowledgeable in is the marketplace, the workplace. So stand up, stand out. There's a dark world out there, but there's a light in you. Those people in the dark world will come to you because of the light in you. Is that ringing true? Is that stirring up in you? So stand up, stand out, let your light shine. For me, again, I'm just saying like how God works in my life. He's put me in the marketplace, and he wants me to do the best I can as a worker, as an employee, as a manager in the company that I work for. And I think I probably shared, but some of you are new to the church or you don't know much about me. I've been at the company that I work for 27 years. I'm a senior leader there, the operations manager of our facility. Then I oversee the production in our Edmonton facility, and then I oversee all of our estimating for our sales in Calgary, Edmonton, and Cranbrook. So God took me from a place where I was the parts boy. Patty actually worked at the company before me. I worked at the auto mall, and I got laid off one Christmas, and the owners at the time asked Patty, hey, what's your husband doing? And I was 20 years old back then, and she said, he's nothing. He got laid off for Christmas. Nice Christmas present. But they took me on as like the lowest level parts boy. I had no skill in manufacturing, and God just gave me a heart, though, to work hard, work as smart as I could, not come in late, be early, and just some of those things have just allowed me to move through the company. So I'm just talking a bit about marketplace now. So the light that God put in me, because I know that when I was building a sign or I was bending that piece of metal, that I was doing it for the Lord, even though I was doing it for Selkirk Signs, but I was doing it for the Lord in my heart. And the Lord honored that, and he's moved me along into a senior management role where I affect a lot of people. Like in Cranbrook, I have 30 people that I oversee in my department. So there's like tons of opportunity for ministry, for coaching, for mentoring. But if I didn't have Jesus' light in me, I wouldn't have those opportunities, I don't think. That's just what I believe. So if you're in the marketplace, I just encourage you to stand firm, stand up, stand out, be a light. Doesn't mean that you're always preaching the gospel over people. Opportunities will come if you're faithful to the Lord. So being excellent at something isn't a spiritual gift. Having some skill and being good at something, I think, can be a spiritual gift. Like the Lord could gift you in sports. He could gift you as an athlete. He could gift you with creativity. But I think that to be excellent at something, you have to play a part in that. You have to take that skill or talent. You have to work at it and become better at it. You can be naturally good at it, but you're probably not going to be the best at it until you, like, beat your body, right? That's what the scripture said. Until you bring that into submission and that you take control over that. You have to strengthen it to get better. These are some really practical things, like physical actions that you can do. The key, though, it's like really danger, like danger, danger. If I'm good at golf, it can go to my head. I can become prideful. it can become an idol in my life. So danger, warning bells, that you have to have a good attitude first. Like your attitude has to be, I want to be excellent because, not necessarily because I want to be the best and I always want to win, but I want to be excellent because God is good, because God is excellent, because God is love, because God put that into me. A few scriptures, I'm not going to pull up the scriptures, but in the Old Testament, Daniel, does everybody know Daniel in the Old Testament? So he was from Israel. Babylon invaded, and they took the best people, like they took the best Israelites, they put them to training, people that were good-looking, that were smart, that were healthy, that were strong. They took a group of people, they put them into training for 3.5 years in Babylon. And once their training was done, they could go into the king's service. Even though this was in another country, another religion, Daniel was one of those men. And Daniel, actually, I am going to pull that up. I'm going into my bag again, guys. I've got to go in here a couple times today. They make these bags so good. There's like 1,000 pockets in here. Whew, there we go. So Daniel, once he did his 3.5 years of service, he excelled at it. He was good. He was, if he wasn't the best, I think he was the best. I think that's what the scripture says, but just in different words. So Daniel, chapter 1, it talks about them taking people from Israel, some of the bright, shining stars. And then Daniel chapter 6, it says, it pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom with 3 administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. So a guy from not even their country is in charge of everything because of what the Lord put in him. And if you read the previous 6 chapters, you can see that Daniel was faithful to God. He stayed faithful, but he was good and he worked his skill. In the marketplace, in government, it set him up above everybody else, and it gave him a place, a platform, where he could then minister his faith. He had to be patient with that, I'm sure, but after he was put there, he could minister. So when I talk about our attitude or our motivations, there's different things that can motivate us. Some might be negative, and some might be positive. You might struggle with some of these. You might be good at some of these. I'm just going to read them out and throw it out there. So you might pursue excellence because of legalism. It's the rules. I have to follow the rules. You might pursue excellence for selfish ambition, that I want to be. You might pursue excellence out of guilt. You might pursue excellence out of fear. There's 2 types of fears. There's the fear that you might lose your job. And then there's this other fear that we're called to fear the Lord, right? Do you think the Lord wants us to fear him because we'll lose our job? Because the Lord is so awesome and mighty. You might pursue excellence out of duty. And again, some of these are not bad. If you're in the Army, you have to pursue excellence out of duty because that's what you signed up for. You're expected to follow your order exact because if you don't, people die. And so a soldier follows their orders from their officer, so they're doing it out of duty. You might pursue excellence out of gratitude, that you're so thankful for something. You might pursue excellence for eternal significance, that I want to make a lasting change, not for my name necessarily, but I want to make a difference in this world. So for eternal significance, you might pursue excellence out of love. And love is all through the Bible. I love the songs that Tara Lee chose today, and it talked about God's love for us. To me, that is the best motivation. Does everybody know the scripture in 1 Corinthians 13? What remains, Roger? What remains out of the three things? Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest is love. Love is the best. That's the greatest. Like, God's love in you is the best. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son for us. And I love combining that with another scripture, that while we were still sinners, we weren't holy, we weren't close to him, but we were in this dark place over here. He still loved us. Okay, another little test here. So the Old Testament has the law, the Ten Commandments, and then Jesus talks about it in the New Testament. What are the greatest two commandments? That's right. So love and love your neighbor. So you got to love the Lord and you got to love your neighbor. So to me, some of that marketplace stuff is loving my neighbor. It's horizontal. It's going this way. The first one, though, is more vertical, right? God's here, too, but I just like, it works good if I say horizontal and vertical. Our God is great, amen? Our God is the best. Our God is 1,000 times better than a good golf game. That's who God is. Like, God is so awesome. Here is some of the things that God is known for. He is our advocate. He's the Almighty. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the Amen. He's the atoning sacrifice for our sins, the author of life, author and perfecter of our faith, author of salvation, beginning and the end, bread of life. He's the chief cornerstone, the chief shepherd, creator, deliverer, eternal life. He's the everlasting Father. He's the gate. He's the faithful and true. First and last, he's the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. These are all scriptures, by the way. You getting my point here? Okay, if you're not, he's holy and true. He's the heir of all things. He's the head of the church. He's the great high priest. He's the hope. He's the hope of glory. He's the horn of salvation. He is the I am. He is the image of God. He is the King eternal. He is the King of Israel. These are alphabetical, in case you didn't notice. He's the King of the Jews. He's the King of kings. He's the King of the ages. He's the Lamb of God. He is life. He's the light of the world. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the Lord of all. He's the Lord of glory. He's the Lord of lords. He's mighty God. He's the morning star, only begotten Son of God, our great God and Savior. He's our holiness, our protection, our redemption, our righteousness, our sacrificed Passover lamb. He's the power of God. He's the precious cornerstone. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the resurrection and life. He's the righteous one, the rock, the ruler of God's creation, ruler of the kings of the earth. He's Savior, Son of God, Son of the Most High, the one mediator, the true bread, the true light, the true vine, the truth, the way, Wonderful Counselor, Word of God. And even more than that, that's just the top 100 that I pulled off the internet. Yes, give God a hand, because he is all those things. Does everybody know what Jesus' first miracle was that's recorded in the Bible? The wine. So that story there, Jesus is at a party, he's at a wedding, and they run out of wine. So mom comes to him, hey, can you make this wine? Do something. So he turns the water into wine. Do you guys know what the bridegroom said about the wine? It was the best wine. It wasn't second best. And then do you know what he said about what the tradition was? That's what he did, but tradition was you serve the best first. And once, I don't drink, but I did back when I was 19, before it was legal, and then when I was legal, I quit drinking. That's when I came to know the Lord. So, you'd put out the best wine, everybody has a couple glasses, you get a little bit tipsy, and then they would put the cheaper wine out. I'm sure they still had their good wine out, but when Jesus made the wine, it was the best. Jesus is the best. That's the first example that Jesus, even in his actions, he wants the best. God has a standard. If we go into like the Old Testament, there's like hundreds of chapters on his standard. We couldn't fill that standard. We tried. And once a year, we'd still have to do this sacrifice. We'd have to always do sacrifice, but there was always a continual sacrifice that had to be done. We could never fulfill it enough. But when Jesus came, he was the perfect offering. He was enough to take us in darkness and allow us to be in the light with him. He was the perfect. He was the best. I need Brett and Wendy for a minute. If Brett and Wendy would come up. We're going to make you two the front row if that's okay. Chair for you. No, you there. That's perfect. Brett, you here. And then I need Brayden and Paige to come up. Paige. Brayden. Okay, you guys just sit. Be good. Okay? Be good. Okay, so just a little background. These guys don't know what they're doing up here. They volunteered, but they didn't know what they were getting themselves into. So here we go. So how long have you guys been married?
35 years.
35 years? And how long have you been together?
36.
Good for you guys. Okay, pitcher. I love Brett and Wendy. Brett and I got a chance to go to Moab this year, and that's like a biking capital down in the States. We had to train for that, did we not, Brett? So as passionate as I was about golf clubs, I bought a new mountain bike. I had like a junky old Canadian Tire mountain bike. Nothing against Canadian Tire. It's an entry level. It would not have handled the Moab trails. Right, Brett? So Brett also had a cheap bike, and when I was looking for a bike, there were a couple other bikes out there. And when I told Brett that I might have a bike that he could buy, he'd have to purchase it with his own money, he started researching this bike like you wouldn't believe. Do you know some stuff about the bike, Brett? Tell us about your bike.
Actually, I didn't research anything. I just trusted you guys that it was a good bike.
No, he did trust me, but he knew, like, his bike has, like, the powered seat. Like, you just click a little button, and it lifts up and down. He researched that. You got to ride his bike? Nice. So he's got a pretty high-end bike. Do you know what you paid for the bike, can I ask?
$800 approximately.
Wow. That's an expensive bike, eh? That makes my golf clubs look really cheap. So there was value in the bike. Brett, I love you, and thanks for that. And it was a great trip, and we had to train. We rode 4 days hard, right? And I've only rode 3 times since. So you guys have been married 35 years, together 36. So hypothetically, this isn't a true story, okay? Brett is having his 35th wedding anniversary, and he bought Wendy a necklace, spent $1,000 on the necklace, more than his bike, $200 more than his bike. Pretty good value, right? So they were busy, though, and he forgot about the anniversary. And Wendy was busy, too, because they were doing what they do for fun. What do you guys do for fun? I know Brett likes to bike and hike, cross-country ski.
Not me, no.
No.
I watch my grandkids.
Wendy was watching the grandkids, and Brett was skiing or something. Yes. Brett loves to ski. So he did spend $1,000 on this necklace, but he forgot about the anniversary. So it was about a week later, and he remembered that the necklace he had in a bag in the car under his ski equipment. You can give that to Wendy. It was double wrapped. You know what? I looked for candy, and nobody has candy. I looked everywhere because I really wanted it to be a candy necklace. I cried yesterday when I couldn't find it. Okay. Stay. Be good. Okay, you two. I had to clarify today, just to make sure. But for the record, what is the status of your guys' relationship?
Officially,
are you courting?
Yes.
I said they didn't have to do any talking. Okay. Officially, they're courting. How long have you guys been courting?
4 months and 6 days.
Does that sound about right, Paige? Okay. And how long have you known each other?
I started working with him in April.
So about 6 months. Okay. How long have you been courting? 4 months?
4 months in 6 days.
Okay, in 6 days, it'll be 4 months. So 3 months, 24 days, we'll call it. Fair? You guys are awesome. I love you guys, too. So Braden, he's a romantic. He saw Brett at the store, and he was buying a necklace also worth $1,000 to celebrate their 3-month 24-day anniversary. And I did tell them, Braden and Paige, if this affected their relationship, that I'd be willing to give them some counseling after, because I'm kind of stepping into unknown ground here. So Braden, he's like so excited about this. He bought the $1,000 necklace. That's like 2 weeks' wages for him. And he was there early to pick Paige up for their dinner. And he wrapped the necklace and... And they went out for dinner and lived happily ever after. So, these necklaces were bought at the same value, but are they the same value? Which one is more excellent? Not take the years. Take the years out of it. Just the attitude, the motive. Which is the more valuable necklace? Braden. You guys weren't supposed to mess me up like that. I shouldn't ask the years. You guys can go sit down. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, they were. Thank you so much. Value and motivation. We heard about all of what God, Jesus, is to us. I just want to talk a little bit more on the value personally with me now, that I do make fun and I do like to golf, and I spend maybe 10 hours a week golfing. Something more important, and I would give golf up in a second if God asked me to. I would. He wants our first fruits. I did say that God has a standard, but I think it pleases the Lord more if we give something freely to him of ours. That we just say, God, I love you. You are so great. You are so awesome. Something that I give the Lord, spend a lot of energy on and time, is music. I give that to the Lord. Do you know, before I was saved, I failed music in school. I could not play music. I liked music, but I failed. Not good. I wasn't excellent. I didn't have skill. But when I came to know the Lord and people were singing, we didn't have a musician, I said, that is me. There's an opportunity. I want to do this for you, Lord. And that was 28 years ago. So I've been part of this church for 13 years. And the worship team has transferred, but we've had a certain worship team now for how many years, Terry, Wendy, we've been together? Let's call it 7. I'm going to my calculator here. So I don't know if you know it, like when you listen to music, when we're up here, if we just came with our natural skills but we didn't practice, if we didn't want to be the best, we'd probably be a train wreck on Sunday mornings. So 7 years... So we practice 9 months a year. We take the summer off, but we practice 9 months a year, 2 hours on Thursday night, an hour and a half Sunday morning, every week. So let's do some math here. So that's 52 weeks times 4 hours, we'll call it a week, is 208 times 7 years. So just the worship team, since we've been together the last 7 years, we've put 1,456 hours into practice here. Thank you. The whole team is awesome. Not including the preparation time that the leader of that Sunday puts in prayer, reading the Bible, testing the songs, making sure it's in the right key. I'm not saying that you guys don't think about it. When I was in the congregation, it would be like, cool, that's a nice song. I really like the sound of that song, which is all cool. And it really connects with me as maybe a deeper level. As a musician, though, we'll go even deeper. Like music is actually mathematics. Like it's 4-4 times. So 1, 2, 3, 4, or it's 3-4. 1 and 2 and 3 and 1 and 2 and 3. That was 6-8 actually, but so there's a certain math. Like when you build a song, there's different parts. Like the drum has like 8 to 10 different pieces of it. You got your kick drum, your snare drum, your floor tom, your 12-inch, your 14-inch tom. You've got your hi-hat, your ride, your crash cymbal, your high cymbal, your little cymbal that we got. So that's like 10 or 12 parts just to the drums. So to build a song, you got to take those 12 instruments, you mix it with the guitar, you mix it with the keyboard, you mix it with the bass guitar. Every part of that has a part to play. And it doesn't just magically come together. We could just all get together, but like I said, it would be a train wreck. So it takes excellence. That's just me. What I'm passionate about is music. I know we all have passions out in this room here. You guys all have passions, which is awesome. And it takes a lot of work to be passionate for God. It takes something on your part. I only have 30 minutes here, so I'm going to finish up with this here. From the object lesson, excellence in our attitude and our motivations, also excellent in our actions. That's what God desires. He wants us to be excellent. I'm just going to leave you with this scripture here, and I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. We're going to finish the song here, which is really awesome. And I'm going to leave you guys with this scripture, Philippians 4, 8 to 9. Finally, you guys are probably like, whew, finally, 12 o'clock. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, these are all like excellent things. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, this is the pause, put into practice. So put it into practice. Like if you know that God has given you guys a certain skill, a certain talent, let's work that talent. Let's put it into practice. Let's excel at it. Let's give God our best. Just raise your hand if that rung true for you guys today. Nice. Father, thank you for who you are, how awesome you are, that you are great and mighty, and that you love us so much. We do pray that that fire would burn in our hearts, God, and that we would be able to live life to the fullest, to be excellent when we worship you, to be excellent when we sacrifice you, to be excellent when we serve in the marketplace, to be excellent when we're loving our family. Just pray that you'd give us that spirit of excellence, that we would chase after you the way you chased after us through your son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Well, let's stand to our feet. We've got a song prepared. Donnie, that was an excellent word. Do you guys feel challenged and equipped today? Give them a round of applause. That's awesome. Thank you for sharing your heart. Well, we're going to close on a song called Fires, because it is God that will keep the fires burning. So I want to encourage you to just let loose. Amen?